Capturing Jerusalem is a key point. In 1948, we have the State of Israel is born, and in 1967, we have the Jewish people owning Jerusalem. So in the kingdom, the word of the Lord would not come from Jerusalem if the Arabs owned it. Backing up to 1878, we have three sections of Ezekiel 37 that deal with this time period. In Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14, it deals with the dry bones that represent Israel. In Ezekiel 37, 14, it sums up this section, and I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. This is taken from New American Standard. And Ezekiel, in verses 50 to 21, Ezekiel tells us about the two sticks that represent the two divisions of the tribe of Israel. In verse 22, it says, I will make them one nation in the land in the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never again be two nations or be divided into two kingdoms. Verses 23 to 28 is a continuation of the sure mercies of David and the everlasting covenant, which will be the new covenant. In Psalms 89, verses 3 and 4, we read, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your seed forever and build upon your throne to all generations. And continue the sure mercies of David in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom. In Ezekiel 37, 22 to 25, and they will no longer defile themselves with their idols, or with their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. Verse 24, and my servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances, and keep my statutes and observe them. Verse 25, and they shall live on the land that I gave to Jacob, my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' sons forever, and David, my servant, shall be their prince forever. And I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Now this covers the entire chapter of Ezekiel 37. At the top, I'll just mention, now we can't measure how much land Israel will get in the future because the scriptures are not clear on this point. Brother Bob Goodman gave an excellent talk on the four land title deeds to Israel from the Old Testament, which Israel will get at some time in the future. We can't measure the amount of land that Israel will get before the kingdom is set up. We can't measure how many wars Israel will have to be fought before the kingdom starts since Israel has fought 7 wars. Now, one of the elders responded and said that Israel has fought 3 wars, and the final war will be the war when the countries from the north attack Israel. To capture the spoil and seize the plunder, to turn your hand against the weight places which are now inhabited, and against the people who are gathered from the nations, who have acquired cattle and goods, who live at the center of the world. Verse 13, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all its villages, will say to you, have you come to capture spoil? Have you assembled your company to seize plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to capture great spoil? Of this people, it is said, they are prosperous, the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle or goods, Ezekiel 38:12. The invaders come to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil, Ezekiel 38:13. It would be rather naive to expect that the literal cattle and goods of the nature coveted by the despoilers in the Old Testament days is really the object of this modern attack. These are homily symbols employed to denote the temporal prosperity of Israel, which proves its enemies' jealousy and covetousness. In fact, the Hebrew word for cattle in verse 12 and 13 is not migna, which means valuable property of any kind. To the pastoral people of Bible days, cattle constituted the principal source of wealth, so that the term came to stand for cattle as the embodiment of wealth. Similarly, the word rendered goods is aquinion, which refers to anything acquired or achieved, whether concrete or abstract. Achievement of the mines is just as Quinlan as achievement of trade or industry, or conquest, as in Proverbs 4:7. With all thy getting, get understanding. Where getting is well, include treasures of knowledge, of science, research, of know-how. To use a modern industrial term, and this is the most probable, having regard to leading position that even present-day Israel is attaining in such directions. The expression to take a spoil and to carry a prey. This is Ezekiel 12 and 13. And it points to this for spoil, or sheol, meaning material. Plunder or loot of any description, but prey is baz, which means living persons taken captive. It is not applied to material goods. The idea intended to be conveyed is that not only the seizure of possessions, but also the enslavement of the people is in the minds of the attacking forces. Now, this is a quote from Brother A.O. Hudson. So what would be the spoil? Number one could be gas, oil, ocean and land, shale oil, solar energy, medicine, agricultural technology, computer technology, economics, chemistry, and water. Now, these are just possibilities, but right now, the main concern is gas. This is a story or a joke in Israel that when the Israelites left Egypt, that Moses took a wrong turn, and all the Arabs surrounding Israel have and own oil. Now, this is the providential things that we were watching like 12 years ago. Thus far, Israel had discovered four gas and oil locations in the Mediterranean Sea. The date of the discovery of these locations will point up the time of God's preparation for Israel to become a wealthy country. And that's why I think these articles are so important, because now God is using these fields to prosper Israel. You have Tamar gas, an oil field discovered in June of 2009. The Leviathan gas field discovered in June 2010. The Meyer gas and oil field discovered in June of 2011. And the Sarah gas and oil field discovered in June of 2011. So for 4 or 5 years, Israel is supplying all the gas for Egypt and Jordan. So this would be a picture so that you could see that those squares that you see in the Mediterranean Sea, they're not really like squares, but indications where you have the Leviathan and also the Tamar and the Dalit oil fields. And the prime minister of Turkey wants to be very friendly now with Israel because they want all of the prosperity. They want to share in the prosperity, and they want to help Israel to transfer this gas to wherever they want, even to go to Europe. So the question would be before us is, will Israel become a world energy nation? So we don't know, we're going to watch. So Israel has one of the largest shale oil areas in the world. Dr. Harold Vinegar, he's the chief scientist for Ernie Energy, states that he could develop oil from shale for approximately $35 per barrel. And Israel has enough shale oil to equal the oil of Arabia, 250 billion barrels of oil. So a potential is that Israel can become one of the wealthiest countries in the world. There are two companies that are drilling for oil in Israel. Zion Oil has some of the prime areas, and the Gavat Olam discovered oil at the present time. And there's a race for oil in Israel. The above companies are convinced that Israel is sitting on huge deposits of oil. And this is just a picture to show you that from the scriptures, it would indicate that there would be oil in Israel. So Israel is one of the leading countries in the development of solar energy. An Israeli company was the first to develop and install a large-scale, fully functional solar electricity generating plant in Southern California. That would be a Mojave Desert. The huge site has a capacity of 553 megawatts, enough electricity for 400,000 homes. Currently the world's largest and most productive solar array. What does that portend for an energy-guzzling, oil-depending world? In medicine, Israel developed the first ingestible video, a camera. That camera is so small, it fits inside a pill. It is used to view the small intestine from inside to detect cancer and digestive disorders. Other Israeli researchers have developed a new device that directly helps the heart pump blood, an innovation with the potential to save lives among those with heart failure. In medicine, we have the medical camera the size of a matchstick. In agricultural engineering, Israel has begun to make the desert rejoice and blossom as a rose, Isaiah 35:1. The dry stretch of earth running from the Dead Sea to the Red Sea is the most world's hottest places, but it is now the home of one of the world's most ambitious and successful agricultural technology, also shared with other countries, including irrigation methods, greenhouse technology, and anaerobic digestion, recycling organic waste. In computer breakthroughs, the world's largest chip maker relies on Israeli talent. At the Intel facilities in Haifa and Petah Tikva, the Pentium M chip for Wi-Fi broadcast access was created. Most of the Windows for NT and XP operating systems were developed by Microsoft Israel, and they have the development of the computer hardware, the USB flash drive, the Quictionary electronic dictionary, and the laser keyboard. Now, this is just a chart or graph to show that of all of the countries, Israel shares the highest level of research and technology. And I checked on the computer to see if this is still true. And this graph is still true today, that Israel is the second highest country for the development of all technology. And they have the winners of the Nobel Prize in chemistry, and that would be Daniel Shechtman in 2011 and Erwin Rose in 2004. And you have the problem and need for water, and so Israel will help solve the problem of need and water. Now, when Israel becomes very prosperous and wealthy, the stage will be set for the final attack. God will repeat the strategy that he used against Pharaoh and Egypt. The invading nations will attack Israel to take a spoil. God will reverse the tables and the spoil and to destroy the nations when they attack Israel. The overwhelming destruction of these enemies of Israel, beginning the end of the time of trouble and a time for the establishment of God's kingdom, is graphically described by the prophet Ezekiel 38, verse 18, to chapter 39, verse 20. It can be compared only to the terrible overthrow of Pharaoh and his hosts when essaying to repossess themselves of Israel, whom God was delivering. In this particular also, Israel's deliverance is to be according to like the days of the coming out of the land of Egypt. Marvelous things recorded for us in Micah chapter 7, verse 15. And this quote is taken from volume 4, pages 5, 5, 6, paragraph 2. Now, in the case of Moses and the Israelites, God ordered Moses to take the 18-mile Wadi Watcher route going to the Nuwaiba Beach. The information was relayed to Pharaoh when the Israelites entered the 18-mile route to the Red Sea. Pharaoh concluded that the Israelites were entering a trap. The reality of the situation was that God set a trap for Pharaoh and the Egyptians. God would be glorified through the destruction of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. This would be the true Exodus route to Mount Musa, which would be Jebel El Laws. And as you see on the left, where you see the Wadi Watcher, the angel of the Lord went from the back of Israel, from the front of Israel, excuse me, to the back of Israel, so the Egyptians could not enter in on this particular level of land, which would be about 2 miles by 4 miles. And you could see that Moses held up his hands and the sea parted and the Egyptians were destroyed in the Red Sea. And from Psalms, it says the waters saw and trembled. The waters saw thee, and they were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Thy arrows flashed here and there. The sound of the thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. The way was in the sea, and thy paths in the mighty waters. And thy footprints may not be known. Thou didst lead thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So God used all the forces of nature to destroy all the Egyptians. And this will be similar to the final attack against Israel. For this we now see that on numerous occasions in the past, God used miraculous events to champion the cause of his people, Israel, and to bring victory. The startling thing is that the events will reoccur in the near future to show that the same God who delivered the Israelites in olden time by such miraculous processes will deliver them again in like manner. In the future attack upon Israel, God will use the plague, the pestilence, hailstones, torrential rain, fire and brimstone, confusion and turmoil, and an earthquake. They're recorded for us in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Regarding Pharaoh, but indeed for this cause I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power, in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. Exodus 9:16. God will be sanctified and glorified when he destroys the invading nations that will attack Israel. Therefore I prophesy, son of man, and say to God, thus said the Lord God, O that day when thy people Israel live securely, will you not know it? And you will come from your place out of the remote parts of the north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great assembly and mighty army. And you will come against my people, Israel, like a cloud to cover the land. And it will come about in the last day that I will bring you against my land, in order that the nations may know me, when I shall be sanctified through you and before your eyes, O God. And I will magnify myself, sanctify myself, and make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord. And I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see my judgment when I have executed, and my hand which I have laid on them. And the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord, their God, from that day onward. And the nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile for their iniquity, because they acted treacherously against me. And I hid my face from them, and I gave them into the hand of their adversaries, and all of them fell by the sword. The day and the hour of the great change no one knows, and even the angels in heaven. The Master himself declared that he did not know, but the Father alone. This should not, however, be understood to mean that the Son of God would not know about the matter later on in due time, before he would begin his work of establishing the kingdom. Neither would it prove that the angels of heaven would be in ignorance up to the last moment. Neither would it prove that God's people, living at a time for the establishment of the kingdom, would not know. In fact, the Master declared that all living in proper harmony would be kept informed respecting the Father's plans as they became due. He declared that if they would partake of the things of God and follow after them, then they would have meat in due season. Now, the following material is not in the box. If the prediction of a future date for the establishment of the kingdom is offensive to you, I want you to cover your eyes and Hold your ears for a short time as we discover four possibilities. So are you ready? Shut your eyes, close your ears. But if it doesn't bother you, I want you to listen. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39, our Lord said that as in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the end of the age. In Genesis 6:3, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. We believe that this is providential that the Lord gave us a time period. The last established Bible student date is 1914. If we add 120 to 1914, it equals 2034. In Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he, all of the sons of Israel, set out from Shittim and came to Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. And it came about at the end of 3 days that the officers went through the midst of the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you at a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. 2,000 years from 33 and a half was when our Lord died, so that comes out to be 2033 and a half, or 2034. So the Jews and Gentiles will consecrate, and in a millennial age, they'll have life under the new covenant. The tabernacle lesson. The measurements of the holy in the tabernacle are 20 by 10 by 10 equal 2,000. 2,000 years of the spirit-begotten class will be 2,000 plus 33 and a half equals 2,000, 33 and a half, or 2034. The most holy measurements are 10 by 10 by 10 equals 1,000, so the millennial age will be 1,000 years. And we have 153 large fishes that were caught in John chapter 21, verse 11. So we have the Lord's second presence in 1874. 1878 is the end of the 1845 years of disfavor to Israel. 1881 is the end of the high calling, Matthew 4:19. So the gospel age is follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So the general call ends in 1881. 153 fishes, or the replacement of crowds, comes out to be 2034. And it says, let no one take your crown. Now, these thoughts are not exclusive for Irwin. There's about a half a dozen brethren that share these particular views. Now, the new covenant that would be under the woman, under Keturah, it says, with the beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will establish the bow and the sword, and the war from the land. And I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. So in our picture of the chart, the Jewish age is the law covenant under a woman, and that would be Hagar. The grace covenant is under Sarah, a woman, with gospel age. The new covenant will be under the millennial age, and that will be under Keturah. So we honor the women today, where Hagar had one son, that'd be Ishmael, that was earthly. Sarah had one son, Isaac, that'd be heavenly. And Keturah had six sons, that would be many, earthly. So you have one from Hagar, six from Keturah, representing a full number on the earth, and then we have the spiritual seed. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from all nations will grasp the garments of Jews, saying, let us go with you, for we heard that God is with you. And in closing, we're going to quote Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with string instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, brethren, I'd like to encourage you to watch Israel, watch Europe, and watch everything that will happen to Israel. So we would expect within the 10 to 12 years that Israel will prosper, and before you know it, we'll see the kingdom come. And may the Lord bless these verses. Thank you.